as we come to it and read it, I want you to see what happens. What happens in Asaph's thinking and in his focus from the first 9 verses to then when it turns? This is the Word of God. I'll read the first 12 verses and then I'll pray. Asaph says, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and I was troubled. I complained, my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" Selah. Verse 10, "And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." And here's our focus, these next 2 verses. "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." Amen. May God bless this word to us. Let me pray. Father, we do bow before you, our God, our Maker, our Redeemer. Lord, thank you for the gathering together today unto you, our hopes in you. As a servant looks to their master, we look to you. Feed us, lead us, take us onward today, Lord Jesus. Blessed Spirit of God, give your word the power and reality and help and to impact our hearts, our thinking. Lord, that you would speak, that we would hear, that we would be changed. Move now. Blessed be your name. Amen. How good are you at remembering things? Remembering things. Some of you are pretty good. I mean, I've been around a lot of you for a number of years. Some of you are really good about remembering things. Wow, big spider. But some of us are not. Some of us are just poor at remembering things. And I'm not talking about, you know, what's on your list that you left at the house. And I'm talking about life, remembering things. And particularly, we get to this theme today, remembering the great works of God. But back on Friday night, the 25th of September, a week ago Friday night, we attended a special ceremony at Arkansas State University in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And there was a previous graduate there who had graduated in 1979. His name is Anderson Neal. And Anderson Neal kind of became a new hero for me that night. And I'll use that word loosely. He became a man that I admired in the limited time I got to hear him speak. Why? What did Anderson Neal do that night at that ceremony, at that event? Well, Anderson was a good rememberer. I know that's not a proper word, but we're going to use it. He was a rememberer. He remembered things, and he began to share things. He didn't speak long, but he spoke from his heart, and he spoke from his life. He remembered his parents with respect and with thanksgiving, the foundation they had laid in his life. He remembered his professors at the college who influenced his career, the path that he would go on in the rest of his career. He remembered his wife of 41 years, who is now preceding him in glory. And he remembered her, and he said, "She pushed me or encouraged me all the way along. Every step of the way, she was right there with me." And he remembered God. He spoke with a few statements on the rich blessings and watch care and mercies of God in his life. It was evident in how he was speaking. Yes, beloved, Anderson Neal was good at remembering. You getting the theme here? He was remembering. He was good. And too often, we are not good at remembering the past mercies of God in our lives. A week ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. Oftentimes, we put those things so far from us that they're of no help to us today. But God says we're to remember. Asaph turns in this whole psalm on this theme of remembering God, the great works of God, who God is, what He has done, and who He is to him as a man. So when we face new trials and struggles, if we fail to remember God's mercies, then we will not go through these as well. But when we remember God's faithfulness in our lives, when we remember His works of old, we remember what He's done for us and His people and His church and His saints through the ages, it strengthens us because God is foremost in our mind and our hearts and our trust. Remembering the great works of God. So today, beloved, I want to encourage you to be better at remembering God's great works. I want you to learn more of this. Those of you who are really young in the faith, really take this to heart. Some of you may keep a journal. I know some of the brethren in here, brothers or sisters, keep a journal. And it is a wonderful way to go back through the years, go back and see the recorded in your own hand works of God in your life or for His people, family, friends, brethren, near or far. But beloved, I want you to be better today at remembering God's great mercy. The Lord's table is a form of remembrance. We remember. That's a symbol of the redeeming love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That in and of itself is not the end. It's the devotion and worship and trust and thanksgiving unto Jesus Christ. It is what our hearts are about when we come to the Lord's table, remembering His great sacrifice for us. So, beloved, in God's Word, He tells us over and over again to be good rememberers. It's used over 200 times in the Scriptures. The Psalms are the most prevalent, over 40 times in the Psalms. So, beloved, let's learn to be good rememberers. There are four things we're going to look at today. But notice the sequence. Asaph is very downcast. He's overwhelmed. He talks with language of troubles, and his soul refused to be comforted. He couldn't find any rest. He couldn't find any peace. He was at the brink of ultimate despair. But then, we see these same patterns even with David, don't we, in the Psalms. But then, Asaph was rescued out of his great distress by remembering his God, the great works of God. What God hath wrought through the days, through the years, through the centuries, through the kingdoms and places throughout the earth. And so he's quickened. God's Spirit brings the reminder of this to his heart. And so everything changes. It's a paradigm shift. It's a heart shift. It's a shift of where his confidence is or lack thereof. Asaph says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely, or certainly, I will remember thy wonders of old. She says it twice to give emphasis. This is where I'm going to put my thoughts, my hopes, my trust. I'm going to do this on my great God who reigns. So there are four truths, beloved, and I'll move through these fairly swiftly. But from these passages, from the truth here, we'll draw from it for us what it means to be good rememberers. What is that marked by? What can we learn from the life of Asaph? First, the works of the Lord have been, past, are wondrous. You can't really get big enough English word. Magnificent, glorious, awesome. Asaph says that the works of the Lord are wonders. They're wondrous. They're jaw-dropping. They're true to Him, the one great God who reigns over all. He says, I will remember, the second part of verse 11, I will remember thy wonders of old. Now, beloved, this is universal in that it's worldwide through the ages, but it's personal. It's universal in that the wonders of God, what He did through the centuries, what we have in the Scriptures, they're awesome. They're glorious, but they're personal too. Asaph would have both. We have both. We see and remember the works of God, universal. We talk about them. We share with the children. We talk to each other as a husband and wife, as brethren, as friends. We talk to family. Sometimes we talk to work colleagues about universal works of God. And yet, it's personal. We do this in our own life. We do it in what God hath done for me and what He's done for you. And we hear that, and it stirs us to believe God, that He's with you. He's with me. God's work through the centuries and God's work in his life. Asaph certainly had this. And at this pivot point in the text, that's what's occurring here. His despair is nothing compared to what God hath done and will do. What his burden is, what his troubles are. I mean, this is very relevant in 2020, October, USA and the world today. What is God doing? All his perfect will. He's reigning, he's ruling, he's commanding, he's sending forth, he's drawing back. He's raising up and he's putting down. He's doing all his perfect will. Nothing has changed. God's work is glorious. Now, this word wonders, which is used in the King James, means, in the Hebrew word, it means amazing things. You know, sometimes you're trying to tell somebody, you won't believe what I saw. They realize you're just kind of overwhelmed. You just won't believe this. And it also means his awesome deeds, weighty, big, nothing that man could do. God's works are wondrous. This is so foundational to what Asaph is speaking about in the need of the hour and in the need of the rest of his life, is to remember or be camped out on the wondrous works of God and all that he does and all that he will do for me, for him, in that day, in his time. Glorious saints, children, you ought to learn more and more of the great works of God. That ought to grip you, 6-year-old, 9-year-old, 11-year-old, you young people, you ought to be overwhelmed over and over at the mighty works of God. Sunsets and sunrises should blow your mind. Oceans and mountains and the wind. You with me? The pictures from the moon back to the earth are about the glory of God. They're not about the triumph of man. They're about God's creation. And in his mercy to let men put themselves in a little capsule and go up there and walk around. It's God's mercy. He gave them life. He gave them breath. He gave them mercy to see and behold those things. We start with God and his wondrous works, that he's on the throne. He has the kingdoms and he has the nations. So wonders means amazing, awesome, even the word magnificent things. It's not boring or ever dry to talk about the greatness of our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It should never come across that way. It's not just an academic conversation. People should hear us talk of worship and love God with such awe and such emotion. God hasn't changed. He rules universally. If Asaph knew this, I will remember thy works, the works of the Lord. I will remember thy wonders of old or through the ages. Universally, Asaph knew the awesome works of God through the years. He knew these things. We would know exactly when he penned this psalm, but he would know from you go on and read some more of the text and some of his other psalms. You realize he knew God's hand in history. He knew it. And he would go to a higher education institution today in Denton or somewhere else, and he would stop a history professor and he would say, "Where in the world are you going with history? It's God's history. You got to start with God." So it's universal. Thy wonders of old, creation. Asaph would know the works of God in creation. He speaks forth everything. He tells darkness to now have light. Explain that in a physics class. You see, beloved, we're so much in the human realm, day by day, as John Piper would say, breathing that nothing magnificent about God is happening around us with society. That's been happening a long time. But we should live in the awesome realities of our great God and King. We should. It should grip us. We see a new morning and a gentle, cool breeze today within the tapestry of the Almighty, remembering our great God. The creation, Noah and the flood. You talk about a turning event. Anytime they want to get to dated fossils, I want to say, can we talk about Noah and the flood? Let's put a little bit bigger context to this. Abraham and Isaac, the old man who has a promised son. Asa would have known the great wonders of God. Joseph in Egypt. I mean, how did Joseph get to Egypt? Asa would have known some of the story. We don't know exactly what he would have known. Asa would have known about Moses and the Exodus. Moses against Pharaoh? Yeah. No, not really. Pharaoh against the living God. He would have known of these. These are wonders. These are awesome events. Joshua in the walls of Jericho. Explain that. Get a group of top engineers to explain how that wall crumbled. With music? Horns? It's about God. These are the wonders of God. They should not only grip us, but they should grip the way we think and talk and share with others. Asaf was struggling, and then everything shifted when he remembered, I'm under and serving and loved by the great God who he is. So Asaf knew at the universal level, Asaf knew that God would continue his works as he always had throughout history. What's happening right now? What's happening in America? What's happening with the president in the situation of his health right now? What's happening in the events in society? What's happening in the big cities and the small cities? What's happening in the political undercurrents? God has it. He's got it all. He's foreordained it all for his glory. He's going to triumph. We have a Savior who came and walked among men in a very tumultuous, wicked political day. And the Lord Jesus Christ walked as the Son of God through it all. Speaking of a kingdom that's everlasting. Speaking of love that's everlasting. Speaking of faith and grace and mercies and life. What has changed, beloved? We just got to go back and start thinking this way. I will remember the works of the Lord. I will remember His wonders of old. You need to think that way. We do together. We need to stimulate or stir each other up in these things. Asaph knew that God would continue His work, His wonders in nations and in kingdoms and in men. That's a given. We don't know what's ahead in the detail. God does. His wonders of old will continue. So that's at the universal level. Personally, how about at the personal level? Wow. What Asaph one day will tell us. We don't think about meeting Asaph in heaven, do we? Getting to see him. That's going to be a man that we'll like to have some time with. Asaph speaks of the wonders, or he's probably, even in the thrust of what he's saying, the wonders of God in his own life. We don't just put it out there with me. The Christian speaks out of realities of a living Savior who has purchased them, come into them by the Holy Spirit, and now they're a child of the Almighty. Asaph had that. He had that. He knew that God was the ruler in his own life, and God had done wonders, wondrous things, merciful things in his own life. So, beloved, it's universal. It's worldwide. It's galaxy-wide, but it's personal, very personal. It's God in his great mercy protecting Joanne and Matthew in the recent car accident. It's God. That's a wonder of God to keep them. We could have been planning a funeral. God in His mercy was with them. And so Asaph has this. He has this on his heart. Assuredly, he would have this on his heart. God's deliverances that Asaph has experienced. God's provision that Asaph has experienced. God's revelation of truth. His truth in his day of what he already had. Asaph got that from God. It was a part of the wondrous works of God towards him. And God's drawing near to Asaph when he needed God to come. You see, beloved, it's personal. This thing of God and His wondrous works for us, to us, upon us, it is very personal. And when we talk and when we reflect, it ought to grip others that hear us talk. Their God is with them. Yes, He is with me. He is with us. We could go on and on for hours, you and I sharing the realities of this. We can read the great stories of God in the Old Testament, and we can stand in awe of what God did in Joseph and in Moses and in Abraham and with Noah. And we should, but we ought to speak in our own hearts about these things, that our children and our grandchildren, aging parents, people on the street, people at work ought to hear us talk about a mighty God who reigns. You hear me, saints? We're really poor at remembering at times. We get caught up in the moment. We get caught up in the events. And we act like God's just not around anymore. He's around in everything. All of it's His. Everything's His. I was driving here today saying, Lord, we need another rain. Would you send the rain in your mercy? Who handles the rain? Who sends the rain? Ask Elijah. Ask the people around Elijah in his day who had access to God about the rain. Not all the high and mighty men of the day. Elijah was God's man. Asaph had these experiences. I will surely, surely remember thy wonders of old in my own life. God did great things for him. By remembering it, by reflecting on it, it reinvigorated, it quickened faith for Asaph. But then God did this, and I go back and God did this. And my dad was sharing with us last week when we were with him on that brief trip, and he was sharing about opportunities to go and teach and be in other places. Right when I was born, right before, or right after. Other places when I was a little boy to go and be a professor or maybe change his career. I'm over there, you know, I'm thinking about this. Wait a minute. Where I was, where I grew up, I meet a young girl named Krista. I marry her. I meet Mac and Linda Tomlinson in 86. And you start. I meet Jeff Price in 1999. Wait. You keep going back. Wait. God had this, and then God had this. You see, beloved, the wonders of God in your own life. It'll build faith. It'll bring us to the worship of God and trusting Him. 26 years ago, last month, I was on my way in. Y'all have heard this probably. But I was on my way to Fort Worth to my office that I was working in those days. And I was there as traffic's early in the morning, and you come over a hill, and some of you know some of the detail. A couple from out of town, an older couple, was not really aware of all the details of the speed limit and the traffic and all. By the time I looked up in my rearview mirror, it was way too late for them to stop. My last words, Lord, have mercy. They crushed my car. It was actually Tom and Betty's car. Brother Tom, where are you? That Nissan was good for a while, but that was its last day. That Nissan that I had bought from Tom and Betty was crushed. Krista knows this. It folded the whole back part up. I black out. They have to cut the car, you know, chunks of the metal or whatever, to get me out of the car. I'm out. They get me out. I'm just barely cognizant I'm in the ambulance. That young paramedic, you took a pretty good hit, young man. I knew that. The wonders of God, even in your life and my life, is in a moment like that. I'm here today, 26 years ago. I'm here. I was able to walk in today. I'm able to live and speak and sing and love and serve God because He has such mercy on our lives. The wonders of God, saints. It's not just universal out there. It's here. It's with us. He's with us. So how about the wondrous works of God in your life? We probably ought to just force the lunch table conversations to be on this. Somebody will police. Alan, you go around everybody's table. Keep them on topic. We have to talk about the wondrous works of God. You see where I'm going on this? You need to remember His wondrous works. Second, the works of the Lord have been recorded for us. They've been logged. Y'all with me on this? These are not abstract fairy tales. These are not stories that maybe great-great-great-grandparents kind of fabricated, and now here they are today. We're talking about the works of God recorded from old. They're recorded from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible proclaims in vivid, living, glorious color God's majesty on all that He does, all that He is, and all that He does. That's why this book, among other things, scares the modern man to death. Because you're going to open this, you're going to find about one great, majestic, reigning God and one great Son of His who came and redeemed lost humanity. But all throughout these pages, it's about God did this, and He used this, and He accomplished this. He crushes the proud. He lifts up His people. Just recently, I can't even remember the context. We were talking, Kristen and I said, you remember Goliath? That was it. That was Goliath's last day. Blaspheming the living God. Here's this little teenage guy shows up and he says, you blaspheme God, today it's over for you. God hasn't changed. He rules. He records these things because He's speaking who He is and what He does. Present tense. Wicked men today in the earth will be snuffed out by God. I know the political correctness of that would make people angry, or the lack of political correctness. That's the truth. Rulers and men in high places and low places today, their days will end. It's over for them because God rules. And yet, He'll have mercy on thousands, millions. He'll have mercy on His own people. He'll bring us along. He'll take some of His people to glory today for His own purpose, for His own namesake. You see, beloved, they're recorded. Not only is works awesome, but they're recorded for us. Psalm 40, many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done. Many. I'll keep going. And Thy thoughts which are towards us. Listen to this. They cannot be reckoned up in order under Thee. You can't log them all. If I would declare and speak of them, Your works, what You've done, they are more than can be numbered. And even in your life, sometimes a spouse or a brother in the faith will remind you of something God did. Every now and then, Mac and I'll be talking, and I'll say, you remember when? And then he'll just smile or he'll chuckle. Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Oh, beloved, they're recorded. They're here. They're recorded here in His book, and they're recorded in our lives. When we read the Bible, we behold, we stand in awe of all that He has done. You see this? It stays with you. That's why we train up our children in the ways of God. We teach them the ways of God, the realities of Jesus Christ, the one great Redeemer. We give them the great works of God, most centered on His redeeming work through Christ Jesus. We live and speak and go back to these things because they're recorded. Psalm 111:4, He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. He's given them to us. You know, we should go through Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and those books and just be in awe. God's recording. He gives us great detail on certain stories. Certain things blow our mind. How much text He gives us on that. He has a purpose in that, that we would learn from it, that we would hide these things in our heart, that they would be fresh, they would be alive to us. Some of the men at my office, a few men, are going through an overview of each of the Old Testament books. Each week we do a brief overview, and I'm talking brief. And we're now up to 2 Kings. And so how do you take a book and get to the essence of it? Well, you have to understand the pieces and parts and step back. What was God doing in that day? And it's been wonderful. And we have it for us, saints. This living book, this heartbeat book right here, is speaking to us. It spoke to Asaph. He knew his wonders of old. And therefore, it'll anchor our view today. It'll get our footing right. It'll establish us. We'll see things. It's not that we're still not troubled or burdened by things. It's just we realize that God's record of things tells us He'll control things. He'll guide things. He'll accomplish His perfect will. No matter how turbulent things feel, saints, no matter how unknown tomorrow and the days coming, He, through His record of His great works, will speak to us. If He's done this, then He can do this. What a great help to God's people today and through the ages. We need to learn from this. If these things have been recorded for us, we need to be reading them. We need to know them. You know, the Old Testament is packed with so many stories, so many names, so many events. Sometime randomly, one of you or a family member, somebody asked me a name about, you know, another connected person. I can't even get clear. Okay, I'm going to have to go back and look at that. But these events, these moments that seem so historic, and yet they're living examples for us. the book of Ruth and the book of Esther, Nehemiah. Think of these great books and stories. There are Hamans in our day thinking they're planning and scheming to crush God's people or to triumph in whatever they think they're going to do. There are enemies of God near and far, but God is in control. The nations are as but dust, the dust of his feet. Think about that every now and when the sunlight shines on the floor and you see a little bit of dust. The nations are as the dust of his feet. Incredible realities. Beloved, he has recorded these things. And those of you who have been disciplined and diligent to write things down in your Christian life, I honor you. I commend you. It's wonderful. Let's learn from Asaph. Heaviness and sorrow will weary you and rob you of faith. It does. Heaviness will weary you. But remembering God's wonderful works will revive you. Go to the record. Go to the book. Remember his works. Number three, for our greatest benefit, we must meditate and talk of his works. For our greatest benefit, we got to keep these things fresh, right? We've got to remember. Go back to verse 12. Asaph said, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. So it's not just a casual, that's interesting. That is kind of interesting. The Red Sea opened, they went through. Wow. Manna came down from, that's interesting. No, it's bigger than interesting. It's awesome. We're not talking within society about their subject versus our subject. That's why, whether it be physics or quantum physics, or it be some other big subject, it's not about, well, you know, you got interesting thoughts and we have interesting thoughts. He holds all things together by the power of his word. Put that on the marker board. And he spoke it all into existence. He didn't have to have raw materials to do anything. He commands and it happens. He sends the wind when he wants to. He says he brings the wind out of his treasuries, right? And he makes the lightnings for the rain. Causes the animals to give birth. You see, it's all the time, constant. And we ought to meditate. He says, I will meditate of all thy work, and I will talk of thy doings. Beloved, he means we need to keep these things really, really close in our heart and mind. And that this library, these truths, this record of the works of God need to be very, very fresh in your mind and in my mind. Because it's constantly speaking God, but through the Holy Spirit, He's fueling or fanning those truths and those great realities to increase our trust, our hope in Him. My dad was so nervous that Friday night to go and be in that ceremony because he hadn't spoken in front of a crowd in 10 years. But it wasn't fresh to him. The whole time before we left, when we got up there the day of, I mean, the first day we were there, Dad's up at 4:30 in the morning. I heard him shuffling around. What in the world is he doing up? He was a nervous wreck. He was very anxious. He was writing down notes. I go and I find him. He's writing down notes. He said, Philip, you're going to have to write these for me so they'll be clear. Where am I going? It wasn't fresh to him to have to do what was happening. It wasn't fresh to speak. Things have to be fresh to be on our hearts, to be on our minds. The record of God is for us to lay hold of and to treasure and to have fresh in our hearts and minds today. How we pray, what we're about, how we view things. When Krista goes to the hospital to be with Shane, what does she speak to him about? You see, beloved, it comes from meditating and talking and living upon our great God and Savior. Keep them fresh. The word meditate in the ESV is what? Ponder? Ponder. You hang on to them for a while. Somebody says, I'm still pondering that. Well, my dad was pondering what he was going to say, I'll guarantee you that. He was a little overwhelmed. The NASB says muse. Now, you don't see that word as much anymore. Muse. In other words, I'm going to think on this. I'm going to stay thinking on it. If I'm going to meditate, meaning I'm going to let this stay with me. I'm going to muse. I'm going to ponder. Sometimes when you read those Old Testament stories or the book of Acts, you're reading through the book of Acts, we need to just stop and just for that day, that week, whatever, meditate, muse on God's doings, the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, His teachings, His miracles, His commands, His life, His loving kindness, His grace to sinners. We ought to meditate. We ought to talk on these things. They ought to be fresh. I have found some funny reactions through the years in vocational work and in that kind of atmosphere. Every now and then we're talking about something, and I say, you remember how Jesus handled this situation? I mean, it just freezes the room of people. What does that have to do with today? Everything. Everything with today. Because He ever lives, right? He's reigning. His truth is forever. And so these things become from our treasury of our hearts. We have them, we're meditating on them, and then we can talk of them. John Calvin put it this way, Asaph continued to set but God before his view. He just had God and the works of God and the greatness of God ever before him. Like somebody has a sticky note on their rearview mirror or a note on their mirror at home in the bathroom or notes on the kitchen cabinet or wherever, constantly setting him before us. You're getting the picture of this, right? Setting God before us, thinking on him, Psalm 1. But in his law does he meditate, or do I meditate day and night? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Meditating. I told you all that story. State Park, Bastrop State Park, when it's in the 80s. And I was, these psalms, some of them I was trying to memorize. And we were down there, and these bald cypress trees, this big around, down in the water. And I'm with like 10 other students, and I see that, and I think of that passage. Right? The godly one will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It came alive to me. Because that was fresh on my heart. And we think, we meditate, we talk on these things. David, King David wrote this, I will publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell or speak of all thy wondrous works. Beloved, you could today at the lunch table, you say, okay, let's stop. Nick, you need to stop. It's my turn. I'm going to tell you some wonderful works of God. Rob, that's enough. You need to let Rebecca talk a little bit. See, we ought to have such a big list that we just say, let's talk about the great works of God. Oh, it's a form of stirring each other, keeping each other, helping each other. Beautiful, wonderful realities to this. Psalm 63, David again, my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed. And I meditate on thee in the night watches. You have rough nights of not being able to sleep or times where you're awake more than you want to be. Maybe we just do what David did. We think of God, what he's done. I think of memories, as a parent to my children. I think of God did this and he preserved this. And that time we thought Bethany was gone or had been kidnapped. Oh my, what a scary moment in our life. Where is she? We had the police coming. We just didn't know. And there she was as a what, two-year-old? Asleep between two bunk beds or two beds. She had been corrected. She went off and hid. She was asleep right there in the home. I will remember thy works of old. I will remember your great doings, your wondrous doings, what you've done. And he said, I will meditate on thee in the night watches because thou hast been my help. Whew. Yes. Been my help. You see the pattern, brothers and sisters? Keeping your thoughts and your hopes in God. Keep it fresh. The works of God are glorious, universally and personally. They've been recorded for us, universally and in your own personal life. And here you are to meditate and talk on these things. Rehearse them. I mean, bring them back up. Keep bringing them back up. Talk of them. Sing about them. There's some stories every now and then at Christian I get to tell our older kids. I think recently, I can't remember if it's Bethany or Charity, said, I never heard that story, Dad. And I said to him, oh, hon, there's a lot of other stories you hadn't heard yet, but I'll try to keep telling you stories. Because they were little. They were growing up. And what we may think, oh, yeah, they remember this. They don't remember it. God did this. And they'll just go, wow, I don't remember that. Talk of them. When you sit at the table, when you walk by the way. You remember there in Deuteronomy, what parents are to be doing? Tell your children the things of God, what he's done. These will carry into your conversations with family, with each other, with those outside, your friends, colleagues at work, at school. We're not trying to be arrogant. We're not trying to talk too much. We're just trying to speak out of realities that God is, and He's with me, with you. Yes, saints, meditate and talk of God's deeds. Lastly, remembering God's works will remind you and I that He changes not. Now, I've already said that along the way. But when we go back over the works, the wondrous works of God, through the ages, through your life, through His church, through His people, it continues to tell us, He continues to tell us, He doesn't change. He's on the throne. He rules over all. When men boast about this, we're going to do this, we're going to get out to the planet of Mars by so-and-so, if God wills. Be careful. Big ships have sunk on their first voyage. Spacecraft have vaporized in midair. Be careful. God rules. Pharaoh had a very awesome army, the greatest in the world in his day, and you had these scraggly people, millions of them, trying to leave on foot and get away now from Egypt. What's the rest of the story? I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. They danced and sang. God preserved them. He doesn't change. Today, brethren, you, friends of yours, saints in Lebanon or wherever, are going to be preserved and kept and delivered by the mercies of God. He hasn't changed. He's with His people. Psalm 102, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Malachi verse 6 from chapter 3, for I am the Lord. What is the rest of it? I change not. God is speaking. There is no such thing as a dark age or a silent age. He calls the sun forth. He rules the affairs of men. There are times where God is silent. We use that word from a human perspective. We need God to move. We need His direction. We need victory. We need a breakthrough. Rami and Rachel waiting. When will they go? What does God have? God's just sovereignly ruling in every detail there as He ever has. Joseph going to Egypt. Daniel under Nebuchadnezzar. God's under or in control of all of this. For I am the Lord and I change not. Saints, our great God doesn't fade. He doesn't diminish. He doesn't decline. He is the same. And by remembering the works of God, it brings that to your heart and mind. We don't get as stirred up and troubled by media and this event or this stirring because we realize God's got all. He rules over the world. He rules over us. He rules over His church. Does He ever? Cherishes His people. I was thinking early this morning when I was finishing, I was thinking about Brother Spurgeon and those who tried to harm him. You know, those of you who've read some of his, particularly in the biography or shorter biographies about his life, those who tried to harm him, literally, physically harm him, not just make a mockery of him as a preacher, and yet God kept him and God's surrounded him as with a shield. He was with him. That man that came that night was going to kill him. God spared his life. Just an amazing. So he's ruling. He hasn't changed. He was with Spurgeon. He was with Bob Jennings. He was with Conrad Murrell. He was with Amy Carmichael. He was with David Brainerd. He's with us. He didn't change. He was with Brother Ray. All those years that Sister Ray tells us about, he was with him. I remember when they were over there at that one home over off Hinkle. Y'all had that housing, and it's one of the first nights I ever got to hear Brother Ray just start talking about this is what God did. I just stood there. I just sat there. I just smiled. I think Sister Ray was just smiling too. She's heard those stories a few times. But he was speaking of the works of God. I want to be able to do more of that with my grandchildren. Oh, I want to be able to do more of that. Don't you? I mean, what else do we have to pass on ultimately? But to know the one true God and His Son. I want my kids, I want your kids, I want your grandkids to hear you speak of God yesterday, today, and forever. You see this throughout church history. Christian biographies show this in vivid color, that He's not changed. And he was with Bonhoeffer. He was with Lloyd Jones. He was with Jonathan Edwards and Charles Simeon. He's with his people through the ages. He's with his people, saints. We have to be reminded of this. We have to be built up in this. It'll be such a help to you and I if we speak and live in this reality. God moves, the Holy Spirit flames more of this the more we think on these things. Oh, saints, the works of God are continuing. His wondrous works. They're spectacular. And sometimes they're very, very unseen, but you know God just did it. Something in the mailbox, a phone call at the right time, a medical report that comes back. Wow. God did this. His perfect timing and all these things, His care for His flock, His constant, everlasting, loving care for His people. Beloved, God tells you and I to be good at remembering. Remember, I will remember the works of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. Anderson Neal did this, as best I could tell for those few minutes. Asaph did this in this psalm and other men throughout the Scriptures. And we can do it too. God help us. Amen. Let me pray. Father, you alone are worthy of all the glory, not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but unto thee be the glory. To remember you, your wonders, your great works, centuries before us, just in awe, all that you do, all that you are, sending your Son in the perfect time that he would come and walk among men, preaching and living the kingdom of God. Lord, and your wonders with us, your wonders even in the history of us as a church, Lord, how good you are. Blessed be your name. Help the brothers, help the sisters, help us all to be better at remembering, to put our hope in thee, to stand in awe, and put our confidence, our faith in your rule and reign. Blessed be your name. Amen.